Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another program which is devoted entirely to preaching the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, that Jesus Christ is now crowned, and that Jesus Christ is soon coming again. And friends, since I began the Voice of the Gospel program way back on March the 4th of 1956, the only theme of my broadcast has been to uphold the person and vicarious work of Jesus Christ. Yes, I've been preaching the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope for many, many years, and never once have I deviated from the purpose of preaching the pure and unadulterated gospel of the grace of God. You know, every once in a while, someone writes in and asks me why I don't preach against communism or social injustices and the National and World Council of Churches. Well, friends, I'm quite aware of the diabolical inroads of communism, and I'm also convinced that the National and World Council of Churches are controlled by the devil. I'm also aware of the power of liberalism and humanism. But listen, friends, my commission from the Word of God is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No, I don't have either the time or the commission to preach against modern-day evils which abound on every hand. And furthermore, I could preach against these things for 100 years and not one soul would be convicted of sin and trust Christ as their Savior. So friends, here I am today. Yes, and in the fear of God alone, I'm seeking to point sinners to their only hope for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now for our first hymn today, we'll listen to a lovely tune entitled, The Banner of the Cross. I thank God today for the privilege and honor I have of upholding the banner of the cross. Yes, to seek to glorify and exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at the place called Calvary. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, for Calvary, for it was there that they crucified Him, the just one dying for we the unjust, so that He might bring us back to Thee. And our God, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace, so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to present the claims of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, before we open the Bible and get into the message today, let's listen to another lovely tune, perhaps the best-known hymn of all time, and it, too, has to do with the cross. It's entitled, The Old Rugged Cross. Care to follow me in the scriptures I'll be using as my text for today, several portions of the Word of God, the first found in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now the second scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The third scripture over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And here we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now for the fourth scripture, in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read together verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now for our fifth and final scripture in the previous chapter of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I want to bring before you a subject which is repulsive to some, but to those who are redeemed or saved or born again, to those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, this subject has endeared itself to our hearts and souls. And of course, the subject to which I refer is the cross. The cross of Calvary, upon which the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died. Yes, and I am sure every Christian listening in today enjoyed listening to that most beautiful hymn entitled, The Old Rugged Cross. It begins like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I shall cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Ah, yes, it thrills the heart of every blood-bought child of God just to hear this wonderful song. Why? Because it reminds us of the great price that was paid for our soul's redemption. It reminds us of the precious blood that flowed for our sin. Yes, it reminds us of the one who loved us unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross. Now, in our first scripture text today, Galatians 6 and 14, the Apostle Paul declares, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was expressing the truth that is known experimentally by every born-again child of God. Yes, we know that we have nothing that we should commend us to God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. We know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to God's mercy he saved us. Listen, sinner friend, we who are saved are no better than anyone else, because if we were given our just reward, we'd all be banished from the presence of God forever. But thank God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No, the Christian can boast of nothing apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. Another song we sometimes sing at the Lord's table goes like this. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. Now then, in our second text, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, there we read these words, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And friends, truer words were never spoken. Now I'm not boasting, but I've preached in the open air on Broadway in New York City. I've preached in Hyde Park, London, on Princess Street in Edinburgh, Scotland, in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and in many other cities throughout this country as well as abroad. And I've often stood on the sidewalk near Kaufman's department store here in downtown Pittsburgh, and I've literally pleaded with passers-by to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And sad to say, with few exceptions, the people just smile and look at me as though I were demented. And some to whom I've sought to hand the gospel tract, they pull away from me as though I were a leper trying to brand their hand with a hot iron. Yes, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know, friends, it amazes me to see how gullible we human beings are. We pick up the newspapers and we believe what we read. We watch the television and we believe what we see. We listen to the radio and believe what we hear. Yes, and every one of these means of communications are colored by folly, fantasy, and downright falsehood, and yet sinful man responds favorably to the various news media, but when it comes to accepting the truth of the Bible, the Word of God, rebellion raises its ugly head to dull and warp the understanding which God has given to mankind. Over in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, here's what we read. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now then, thus far we've discussed Galatians 6 and 14, where the grand apostle Paul says that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, the apostle Paul practiced what he preached too. On another occasion he declared, I profess to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ crucified. Then we heard what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 regarding the fact that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Yes, friend, the world today has time for everything but the preaching of the cross. We sometimes sing, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place where he can enter in the heart for which he died. Well, sinner friend, you may consider the preaching of the cross to be foolishness today, but if you die today, you'll realize then that the preaching of the cross was not foolishness, but it truly was the power of God unto salvation. Ah, but my friend, it'll be too late then. Once you die outside of Christ, you die and you go down to a lost sinner's hell, and there's no salvation in hell. Now then, let's take a look at our third scripture text for today, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. There we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sinner friend, I thank God today for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was in perfect harmony with the will of his Father God. In John 6 and 38 he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And friends, on more than one occasion, the God of heaven declared that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was the obedient Son of a loving Father. And even when he was sweating, as it were, those great drops of blood falling down to the ground, there in the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ was looking forward to the suffering at Calvary. For we read those words, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was so obedient before Pilate that it is prophetically recorded of him. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Again, we read prophetically that he turned not his face from shame and spitting. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked out the hairs. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was truly obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2 we read that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes, my friend, the holy spotless Lamb of God was made sin personified just so that you and I might never know the torments of hell, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Now tell me, radio friend, what does the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross mean to you? Do you realize that he was hanging on a cross for your sin? Well, he was. Whether you believe it or not, yes, he was bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was restoring that which he took not away. In other words, by his death, he was restoring the relationship which man once had with his Creator God. Now, my friend, because of Calvary's cross and the precious blood which flowed for sin, there is now a new and living way into the presence of God. Now, remember, it's not through a church or denomination. It's not by means of a religious ritual such as baptism or confirmation either. And it's not by so-called good works or by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Sinner friend, the new and living way into the presence of God is through a person. And that person is none other than God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself declares in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again in John 10 and 9 he says, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the Apostle Peter confirms this fact over in Acts 4 and 12 when he declares, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So that's it, friend. Salvation is through faith in a person, and it's through faith in what that person accomplished on a cross at the place called Calvary. Now, thus far we've discussed Galatians 6 and 14, which tells us that apart from the cross work of Christ, the Christian has nothing to boast of. Then we mentioned 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, where we read that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Then we just discussed Philippians 2 and 8, where we read that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And friend, I thank God today that Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven and went all the way to Calvary to die for my sin. And sinner friend, I look back to a time in my life, June the 2nd of 1952, when I saw by the eyes of faith the Lord Jesus Christ dying in my guilty room and in my stead. And I can say like the songwriter today, Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Could he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Friend, can you sing those words today of a truth? Well, I hope you can. Now, in our next scripture, Colossians 2 and verse 14, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ blotted out the ordinances which were against us, nailing them to his cross. Oh, how I thank God that salvation is not by keeping the Ten Commandments, because if it were, then none of us could possibly be saved. No, the only one who kept the Ten Commandments was God's beloved Son. But I thank God that even though the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, remember this. The Ten Commandments were never given to be kept. The Bible says that they were given as a mirror to show and to prove to us that we couldn't keep them. Listen, friend, if we could be saved by trying to keep the Ten Commandments, then Christ has died in vain. But Paul says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. Again in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 we read, For we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. For by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And sinner friend, I thank God that when his Son Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, he was nailing the charges of the law to his cross. No, the law has no charge against me today because Jesus Christ met those charges and paid the price for my soul's redemption. In Galatians 3 and verse 13 we read that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now then, let's look very briefly at the last text for today, Colossians 1 and verse 20. There we read that the Lord Jesus Christ made our peace by the blood of his cross. Here again we see the value attached to the precious blood which flowed at the old rugged cross. Sinner friend, if you will trust in the cross work of Jesus Christ, you'll have peace with God today. Yes, we're told in Romans 5 and 1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Philippians 4 and verse 7, we read, of the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Friend, as you listen to the gospel broadcast today, can you honestly say within your heart that you have peace with God? Can you? You know, back in Job chapter 22 and verse 21, here's what we read. Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Friend, do you have peace with God? Do you have the assurance in your heart that if you were to die today, that your soul would go to heaven? Well, friend, if not, then it's obvious that you've never been saved or born again. No, you've never passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. But thank God this is still the day of God's grace. It's still the day of salvation. And friend, if you want to experience unspeakable joy and peace within your soul, then you'll have to come by faith to the place called Calvary. And there see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, bearing away your sin in His own body on the tree. Yes, see that blood flow down from His head, His hands and His feet. See Him being wounded for your transgressions, being bruised for your iniquities, and see the chastisement of your peace being laid upon Him. Oh, friend, as this broadcast draws to a close today, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is pleading with some poor sinner out there in Radio Land. This is your chance to be saved, and you may never have another chance. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, God says, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. And in Proverbs 29 and 1 we read, He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So please, friends, I beg of you right now, whoever you are, wherever you may be, acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ died. And believe with all your heart that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was dying for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name, we ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Bear Thine arm in the salvation of precious souls, for which we'll render our thanksgiving and praise unto Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And that zip code is 15134. The address again, Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.